Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Things are getting wacky around here, man. And now, you see it, my chair, it's fine 90% of the time. And then suddenly, I sink, and my chin is on the table. Like, it's a bad sign. I don't know why it just randomly does it. And it's really awkward when it does it when we have guests in studio.
Have you had it done with a guest in studio?
I think it's happened before.
Okay.
But I usually catch it, and I'm just like, oh, I got to readjust here. Yeah. You know?
Is it a sign we need to do standing radio?
I don't know. I've always thought about that. Because you can raise these up to where you're standing. See, like, I'm standing.
That's another project.
Can you tell that I'm standing right now? Can you tell? Does it sound?
Me? Yes.
Well, yeah, you're looking at me. Listeners, does it sound any different? Or does it? I don't know if I could stand. I don't know.
I think you could definitely be more expressive. You could, like, you obviously can't pace, but you can kind of
move
my
hands
side to side a little bit.
I do move around in here.
You can get really animated like Tanner does sometimes.
He gets really animated.
He does.
Does Brian get very animated in here?
Or is no, he just Brian's very experienced when it comes to like how you work with the microphone. Like he obviously has a very good laugh, but he has to step back when he laughs.
Because he knows it's
very loud.
It's going to be loud.
But he's very conscious of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a lot of new people to radio or guests or whatever, and they'll just do this thing where
they'll talk back here.
They'll start fading away from the microphone.
Is this good? Can you hear me?
And then just don't even realize it. By the time you're looking at it, you're like, where are you? And you got to stay close to the microphone. Or you get people that will turn and talk like this. They just turn over and start looking at a guy, and then suddenly their cheek is in the microphone. It's crazy. That's why these things move around. They spin. You got to spin the microphone with what you do. It's part of it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Dixon is spicy today on the text line. He's coming for Top Text Tuesday.
He's spicy every day.
Yeah, but he's wanting the $15 gift certificate to Cables. He says we owe him because he said he won the last 2 weeks, but we just forgot about it. We are naming a winner today. Cables, Pub, and Grill. We have a $15 gift certificate up for grabs, and it's Burger Madness Day. $9.99. You get a $15 gift certificate, boom. Takes care of you for the Tuesday. It's Tuesday, right?
It is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. So I want your text on this. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is MVP related. Who's going to be the NBA MVP at this point? Is it Nikola Jokic still, or and I'm just asking, not who you think, who will be the MVP? Just based on everything that we've seen so far with 10 games remaining. Go vote. In my opinion, because of the transfer portal and NIL, the product has gotten worse across the board in college sports instead of better.
Is it worse or has it evened out?
Well, that's the argument that Tanner was trying to make yesterday or Friday or whatever, was that all these kids transferring spread out go, I can win at a smaller school, Florida Atlantic. I can, if I go there, I can be a starter, and we can get into March Madness, and then Cinderella happens. I just wonder if the transfer portal, I've always thought that. Because if it's like, if I'm a backup to Alabama, I'm a third string running back for Alabama, and I'm a sophomore, so I've got 2 years next, I know I'm going to be a third string this year, injuries, all that, whatever. But I know I got my junior year and my senior year to try to earn my spot and get playing time. Or here comes Boise State and they're saying, hey, dude, I know you're third string there. You could come here and start for us this season, this upcoming season. Well, then you look at it now with the new playoff system and go, I go start for Boise State. We win our conference championship. I'm in the playoffs. I got a lot of eyeballs on me now. So it's all in front of me to do it. You got to have the confidence in yourself to do it. But that's where I think it's gotten better. And that's where I think the playoff system will get better. I think spreading that out is actually going to help the transfer portal. The transfer portal stuff sucks in some ways. I'll give you that. But listen, let me talk about this other text here. Do you want a coach that is so sensitive that if you ask a tough question or say something that he doesn't agree with, that he acts like a little kid and says, I'm not talking to you anymore? Or you're not allowed to ask any more questions. Do you want to coach so sensitive if you ask a tough question or say something that he doesn't agree with? You got to have a balance, man. I mean, here's the thing. I'm an adult. we're adults. Can you imagine if in the real world we screamed at each other the way that coaches scream at players and yell and yell and yell and yell and yell? It wouldn't work. So why is it it's okay for the adult world to have bosses? Yeah, there's jerk bosses. I get it. But you work for a corporation and you get a guy that's just ranting and raving and yelling and yelling and yelling all day. He's not going to last long because people are going to quit. Why do we treat college sports like they're still people? And I've always said this about people. It's hard to compare the real world to sports. And a lot of times that's hard to compare the real world to professional sports. That's different. Hardly, like pro coaches don't yell. They hardly get after them. Yet we demand these 17 to 22-year-old dudes and girls to just be fine with it. But everything outside of that window is, no, you don't get to be treated that way. People can't talk to you that way. Like if you just heard Cody Tucker talking about Izzo and I remember Larry Eustachy, some of the stories I heard there. If those guys were bosses at this radio station, people wouldn't work here anymore. So do I think that, everybody's got to be puppies and kittens? No, I think that there should be some yelling. I think there should be some of that. But I do think that coaches are going to have to find ways to change a little bit, just a little. You were just saying you have to be careful what you say or ask Dion. Oh, you were talking about the Dion thing. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I thought you were talking about, like...
I was going to stop you and correct you, but you had such a good point there.
Well, it was a good... I don't even need the Hooligans text. I just have good points, even if I'm responding to something they didn't even make sense with.
At the point of, do you worry about a coach that if a media member says something or asks something, that the coach gets upset with the media?
I coaches are going to get mad at the media. It's when they shut them off. I don't want that to happen. Okay, now I'm getting it. Now it's starting to make sense. Do you want a coach that is so sensitive that if you ask a tough question or say something he doesn't agree with, that he acts like a little kid and says, I'm not... It depends, I guess. I don't know. If this reporter's asking, really bad questions, like stuff that doesn't pertain. You know, if they're asking, like when at the combine, it's like, how would you handle a gay player in the locker room? I don't think that those kind of questions are appropriate. Did you see the viral tennis video where a reporter didn't watch the match and he came in and he goes, congratulations to the player? And the player's like, congratulations, I just lost. Like, I could see that player going, I never want to speak to him again. He's supposed to be getting paid to write articles about what I do, and he didn't even watch the match. But if you come in and you say, hey, primetime, is it like, do you think that that's strange that you ask your players not to wear hats, but you wear hats in the building? And he gets mad at that? Sorry. I mean, see, that's like a legitimate question because that's a leadership question. And it's not X's and O's, but it's a leadership question. He made that a big deal by saying, you take off your hats. You're not wearing hats in here. Does it bother you that he wears a hat? Does it bother you that Brian just told us he has a cell phone and he's peeking at it during press conferences?
Sometimes it does. I guess every situation, every practice, workout, whatever is different. But the whole, like, you know, you have to wear, everyone has to wear the same practice, you know, gray shirt, black pants, black socks. I guess shoes don't really matter. That you can do whatever for shoes. But then, you know, you see, you know, Coach Prime walking around. He's got the nice jacket, the nice clothes, the sunglasses, the necklace with Prime on it and all this stuff. And you're like, all right, that's my coach. I recognize him as the coach, but he's dressed in, like, you know, he's better than us in some ways. And that's my interpretation. I'm not speaking for the athletes or the football players, whoever. That's just what I get from it.
I had a coach in high school. This is a coach I really, really respect. Still to this day, I think of the lessons he taught us. He was a hard coach. Like, he was terrifying. I dreaded that. I was like, oh, next year I'm going to be in high school, and I know if I play, that's going to be my coach. And it's like, you just got to do it. He was terrifying. I grew to respect that guy so much and still terrified. I'd still be terrified of him today. He just had this look about him. He's a big, pretty thick guy. His rule during the season for us was, okay, you can't grow beards out. You can't grow your hair out. The only haircut you can do that's different, like, you can do a haircut and fade and all that stuff, but you can't, I don't want it growing out long hair. I don't want beards. You can shave your head bald or you can have just regular short hair. And he did the exact same thing. He had, like, when he'd let his hair grow out, it was curly. And as soon as it would get to a point, boom, chopped it off. It's gone. And that at least, because I, as a student and again, teenager, I would have been like, dude, that's ridiculous. He won't let us wear our hair however we want, but he's growing out curls all over the place. That one would bother me. But again, it's different. It's prime time. This guy has earned, he has almost earned the do as I say, not as I do. And again, it's not like he's doing bad things. He's a very respectable guy, respected guy.
He's going at it in a different way. And, you know, it can be considered smart in some ways about the way he's reaching out to these young kids and reaching out to these recruits and recruiting them in a different style rather than, hey, come sit in my office, look at my championship rings, look at all these players in the NFL, whatever. It's connecting with you, you know, get you on videos, get you on NIL stuff, get you with your teammates doing things.
So we're talking about coaches like Jeff Lender today, yelling and ranting and raving. Well, primetime, I don't know if he's going to be that kind of guy. I don't know. But I do know that he's already demanding that kind of perfection, like that, not military-like, but kind of.
Disciplined.
Discipline, like look sharp when you come in here. Address me as sir. Stand up, sit down.
And that's all a part of it. It's laying the foundation of what this culture at CU is going to be. And this is not going to be what Prime is going to be for the rest of his career in Boulder. It's going to change. It's going to change when they have a couple of losses that they weren't expecting. Or it's going to change when a player gets hurt and you're facing some different adversity. And his coaching will have to change with that. But this is him setting the foundation for this is how CU football will be as a culture, as a program, as student-athletes and coaches.
Flying Dutchman says, you can eat for a week on $15 at Cables. Well, because they have freaking deals all the time, man. Let's go Flying Dutchman. He said, Embiid will win. Also on the CU thing, no one will care about any of that if they win. You're right. My job right now, though, is to go, are we in a situation where we got the Broncos situation on our hands? What I mean by that is before they even kicked the football off in a spring game, in a preseason game, did we see some pitfalls, some cracks in the foundation that should have led us to this? And again, I know they're two totally different stories, but that's what sports talk is, man. I mean, we're constantly following these teams. You're constantly evaluating stories and things that are said or whatever. So when you look at the Buffs right now, those things we just outlined, are those potential cracks in the foundation? All of that is well and good right now because these young men are going to be willing to put up with some crap that they don't like because it's Deion freaking Sanders. I get to say that I play football for prime time. One of the most mesmerizing, popular football players, athletes that ever existed. So I'm going to stand up when he says stand up. I'm going to sit down when he says sit down. I'm not going to wear a hat. I'm going to say yes, sir. I'm going to do all these things. Great. But then when we're 0-4 and I'm not seeing playing time, is that when this style starts to crack a little bit? Because again, what he's doing is not what Jay Norvell's doing. It's not what Ed Lamb's doing. It's not what Craig Bohl's doing. And Craig Bohl's certainly like, hey, yeah, we're buddies now, man. Hey, how's the mom? Like, you didn't even know my name last year, man. Now you care about my mom. That's called changing. Learning how to be a better manager, a better coach. And so that I will be curious to see how things are handled when the going gets tough. Because when Ed McCaffrey, and again, I know I make these comparisons, but on a very small scale, they're similar. When Ed McCaffrey came here, we were all awestruck, including me. We were like, holy crap, UNC just hit a home run. They got a popular guy in Colorado to come here and coach. Players probably felt the same way too, because they're like, as Ed joked, that's Christian McCaffrey's dad. That's one of the best football players in the league, and that's his dad, and he played for the Broncos, and he won Super Bowls. Let's make it work. And then as things started to get weird, and it's like, yeah, he says he has an open-door policy, but I haven't been able to get a hold of him, and I don't know what to do here, and da-da-da-da-da-da, the cracks start to get bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where it's like, okay, this is a train wreck. Now, we'll see what happens with this situation, but I'm watching the videos. I'm watching all of it, and I'm sharing what I can, and I'm inspired by them. They're great. Are they too great? Like, these are well produced, man.
Yeah, the one thing that stuck out from Brian talking to us was he said there was maybe a division between the players that were there and the players that have come in since the hiring. That's something. If we're going to point up any red flags for CU right now, I think that is something. It may be minor. It may be, you know, irrelevant in a week, but I think it's something.
Yeah. There's something. You know, I always used to subscribe to this. If it's
perfect.
Too good to be true, it probably is. And right now for the Buffs,
it's all sunshine,
this
rainbows.
Feels like, oh, wow, we're getting every transfer. Dixon, you always say I'm talking out both sides of my mouth. When you say a lot of words, it happens. You're talking out both sides of your mouth here, though. Because he said, I think what Prime is doing is a good thing. He's making all the players feel the same instead of some guys wearing crappy stuff and guys that get sweet NIL deals and are blinged out, etc. No.
Could you teach your team to be accepting of everyone?
But
if Tommy doesn't have the same pair of shoes that aren't as nice as mine, I got to treat Tommy differently. No, that's Tommy. That's my teammate. Come on, let's go lift.
Yeah, but Deion is taking advantage of the transfer portal and the NIL stuff. He's using both of those things to his advantage, Dixon. So what you're saying is you don't like the NIL, you don't like the transfer portal, but yet Deion's doing a good thing. He's absolutely promoting NIL. He talked about it when he was hired. We got to get that NIL money. He knows.
Have we seen any players sign a big deal?
I haven't seen that.
Is he keeping them
Is Shador got a deal?
Not that I haven't seen any big players get like a big time sponsor.
But he talked about it, didn't he? At the beginning.
Yeah, I'm sure it's something they've discussed, but is it maybe something that they're putting in the back burner while they're focusing on getting their program restarted almost? Say, all right, we'll worry about the NIL stuff later. We'll do that in the summer. Let's worry about spring football and getting the foundation of the culture set.
Yeah, listen. With primetime, I'm still in. I mean, I'm not like, this is awesome. This is great. Like I said, Angel's a big Alabama guy, so he's probably like, get off me, little mosquito. And I get that sense, too. I can get that thing, too. But, you know, I'm in this weird world of I got a lot of Rams listeners that are like, see you, this is awful. This is all going to go up in smoke. Then I got some Buffs listeners that are like, this is the greatest thing ever. We may never, ever, ever, ever lose. Ever. I mean, we got 40,000 plus coming to our game, our spring game. We're going to be on ESPN. It's all hunky-dory, man. The truth's probably somewhere, maybe not even in between. I think there's more positive that's going to come out of this than bad. I think it's going to work. I actually do. I think it's going to work. I don't know to what level. Like, are we talking playoffs next year? I don't believe so. I just don't see that quick of a turnaround in this climate of football. I just don't see how. I don't see how CU can even be in the same conversation of Georgia and Alabama. I don't see it. Could they win 6 or 7 games? Absolutely. The next year, maybe do something similar, if not a few more? Absolutely. And then maybe you're talking about winning the Pac-12 and getting in a playoff spot and the expanded playoffs. But then by then, is he gone? You know, that. So I think it's going to be really good. But then what happens when he's gone? All of them are gone. You know, I mean, This is such an investment in prime time that it's like we're investing in you to be here for the long haul because you're going to change the culture here. You're going to get players transferring here that could be here for the next 3 to 4 to 5 years, and we want you here to do that all the way through. Not if you have a really successful 2 seasons and then you're out the door. That's what I'd be afraid of. I think it's going to go that well for the Buffs. I didn't feel that way with Ed here. I remember at the chamber dinner, and I've talked about this story. Like, people came up to me years ago. Oh, Ed McCaffrey's going to be our coach. I just hope we can keep him. I'm like, he's only coached 2 years of high school. Deion has proof of concept. Ed did not have that. So when I came in, I was like, I don't care if they win a game. The marketing thing's great for the Bears. For the Buffs, the marketing thing's great, but that ain't what it's about. You're in the Pac freaking 12. I know it's not the most respected conference, but it's a Power 5. And until it's not, it's still something to be reckoned with, I suppose. Deion is probably in the top 5 athletes of all time right there with the Bo Jacksons, Jim Browns, and Tanner Schwintz of the world. Tanner played?
Top 5 athletes?
Yeah, Tanner's up. Have you seen him move?
I think I saw one clip of
Lightning.
Splat Valley days.
Lightning. Did you see him moving with that little cow the other day?
I did see that.
I didn't know what. I thought I was watching The Flash for a moment.
Yeah.
Like, he was quick. Absolutely quick. That I was like, that cow does not stand a chance trying to headbutt Tanner. Boom, where'd he go? It's all I see is like, you know, like The Flash, the little flash thing. That's all I could see of Tanner. You don't actually see his full body move because it's just like a flash. It's just absolutely stunning. And the mustache, you can kind of see that in the waves, in the wind, just flow. Something else, man. He's making all the players feel the same while in the building and grooming them to be a team, not a group of individuals. Yeah, he's abusing the portal, but once they get there, they got to go to work and look just like everyone else. Well, but and again, theoretically, it's illegal to wear your NIL stuff on campus. So it's not that Deion Sanders is making that rule. If Clay Millen, my boy, is sporting a Crazy Carl's hat, and he does it, and he's walking around in the facilities wearing it, taking pictures with it, that's a no-no. You can't do that. It's supposed to be vice versa, too. They're not supposed to be taking pictures in CSU gear with us.
This is what you wanted.
What are you going to do, man? 27 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's a strange world that we're in with all of this, Angel. No question about it, man. I mean, it's NIL stuff, transfer portal stuff. It's crazy. But if you're going to be in this world and you're wanting to compete in athletics, then who better to help guide you through that than a guy like Primetime? Isn't Primetime the guy that's made for this new era of football with NIL, with transfer stuff? Because his name's going to... We talked about Beacons yesterday with Andrew Alirez, the national champ. Isn't Primetime one of the biggest beacons out there for his name? Again, Nick Saban's a beacon because of what he's done on the field as a coach. Primetime's a beacon because of his popularity, which he also earned on the field as a player and a coach and an analyzer and a talker and all that stuff. Isn't he kind of perfect for this day and age now? I mean, I guess maybe this will be the as we said, the proof of concept, or this will be, we're not quite ready for this kind of guy.
I think it works in the part that the social media aspect of it, the being able to connect with these student athletes almost directly with their Twitters and Instagrams and Facebooks and stuff like that. I think another aspect of it comes when you're facing this era of football is how you coach and how you perform on the field. You know, when you lose a starting wide receiver, did you do enough recruiting in the offseason to get another guy that can replace your starting wide receiver if he goes down for a game or two? You know, it's when you face that, when you face the new adversity of college football, which is NIL and transfer portal, how do you respond to that and move forward from that? That, I think that's a better judge of if you fit for it.
Yeah, you got to be both, though, right? I mean, Nick Saban right now, well, how old is he?
Ooh.
70?
70.
Okay, so.
Just had a birthday in October. It's October 31st. It's Halloween. That's why I know it.
You would know that.
He's 71 years ago.
Okay, so let's say what? How long has he got to coach? 5 years?
Probably 15. Realistically,
he hasn't anywhere coached until he's 81.
Anywhere from 5 to 10 years.
All right, let's just say 6.
When did Snyder retire?
Boy, I don't know. How old was he? I mean, yeah, we've seen it before. We've seen deep into their 70s.
Snyder retired when he was 79.
Okay. All right, fine. Whatever. For sake of argument, I'll give you your 10. 5 to 10. His career, no matter what he does now, what he's done in the past will allow him to continue to bring in top recruits for as long as he's in the game. In 10-plus years, that's when will that stuff start to fade as the transfer portal continues to go crazy? Again, you have such a solid foundation with Alabama that it's going to be good for years and years to come, but it's all it's going to take is one mass exodus in football, which you might not see with Bama because they are such a well-respected organization and or program. But you just wonder, the Sabins of the world, these older coaches of the world, can they roll with these times, roll with these tides, and make the necessary changes to their character, and being good with the NIL stuff and absorbing it and welcoming it and promoting it in some way, and the transfer portal stuff too. Because we know Saban's been vocal about the transfer portal. We know he's been vocal about NIL stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at Alabama, they definitely had a dip in success after Coach Bryant died had left. And then it was kind of just average. Maybe they'd get a little bit above average 1 year. And then Gene Stallings came in the 90s and they kind of, you know, had a lot more success. But then after Stallings left and then up until when Saban got there, Bama was not a powerhouse football team or program at that point. They had the history and the legacy of it, but they hadn't found that second era of it. So I could see something similar once Saban's gone. Whoever they get after him, how do they approach the new era? Because we'll be full into the NIL transfer era at that point.
We'll probably have a lot of new regulations to it in 5 years, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
the two-time transfer rules, all that stuff will be in place.
Yeah, there's got to be tighter restrictions on transfer rules. It can't be easy. It can't just be, I declare bankruptcy, like Michael Scott in The Office. It can't, right? Like right now, they know where, like, does the school have a transfer portal person there?
Like, can we make the portal a real thing?
Yeah, they actually go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
like,
think
even if it's
great.
Just a little video of a stick figure with a person's face.
Pew! And they're just like, flying around.
Yeah.
Ah, got that one. But, like, do they have a transfer portal person, or is it something they get on the computer?
Or is that just like their scouting department?
Do they just get on and go, transfer portal for college? We all have access to it. Enter your name. Are you sure you'd like to enter the transfer portal? Is that it?
I'm sure they have to verify that they're a coach.
Do they have to give
something?
A reason? Do they have to give an essay? Make them write a freaking essay. Make a college student write a freaking essay as to why they got to leave.
3-page minimum.
And they won't do it.
No double space.
There's a lot of players that wouldn't do that. And I'm not, like, knocking players. Who wants to write a freaking
essay? That was all
you
had to do was just, I need you to write an essay telling me why you're leaving.
Yes.
And where you would want to go and what you're looking for in that new school.
Right.
You can't give me 3 pages like that, you're not getting in.
See, that's a good idea.
It's an incentive.
It's like, explain to me why. And then you're going to find out some dirt. Mm-hmm. You might find out some dirt you don't want. I don't know. But, like, if it were Adazio, it'd be players saying, hey, you know, we didn't like his attitude. We didn't like the way he talked to certain players. Blah, 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 blah. Jay Norvell was getting a lot of transfers too, let's not forget, who we all fell in love with Jay Norvell, and rightfully so. He's still kind of in this awkward honeymoon phase, because we're still all in. But why are people entering the transfer portal away from him? What would that be? You know, we don't buy into the 4 air raid stuff. It's not what I thought it was going to be. There's going to be, if they have to explain it and give us a real reason, then yeah, maybe that's how you make this work, where it's to the point where, okay, is it that bad? You second guess it. Like Graham EK would probably enter something in an essay that said, hey, I was injured last year. We had a bad season. This year, for some reason, players started transferring out left and right. And I'm just looking at it going, I can't win here if we're 3 scholarship players. And I've got a chance. I feel like I have a chance to be an X-level player. And I don't feel like I can do that if we have our struggles next year with only 4 scholarship players.
So asking these student-athletes to be adults almost and professional and when they make big life-altering decisions.
And it's a life-altering decision. You know, changing colleges is a life-altering decision.
And it's not just, I'm going to a new football team and a new coach and players. No, it's new city, new state, new grocery store, little things, a whole life adjustment, not just I'm putting on a different uniform.
Yeah, oh, they like those uniforms. I've heard good things about that coach. Like, our boy Dalen Koontz, when he transferred from CU, he wasn't getting a lot of playing time. Steve Smiley recruited him in high school, so he knew Steve. So for him, it all made perfect sense, and it was a life-altering decision, but it was a calculated one. Because it was like, all right, I'm not probably going to play next year again, and this is a lot of guards coming in. Smiley I always really liked, and that's right up the road. And he became a starter instantly. Started out, did all but one game, I think. Dixon says, no way the dudes at Bama could write that essay. They haven't been to a class in years. So a little...
No, it's just disrespectful.
Yo, they've been to class. They've been to underwater basket weaving.
I'm not saying whatever major these guys are pursuing is something that's going to get you a good career, but they're going to class.
That's
true.
They're
doing their homework.
Yeah.
Are they spending a majority? They're spending a lot of their daytime doing, you know, they're not spending 7 hours doing math homework. They're spending 7 hours watching film. I'll do my math homework for, you know, 30 minutes, whatever.
Was it Cardale Jones? Is like, I come here to play football, not play school.
Yeah.
That's right up there with
Now we have professional players going back to college for pro days.
What is going on with this thing? Cam Newton's going to Auburn's pro day for what?
Because he's better than 32 of those randoms, as he said it.
And he's going to go showcase his skill set at Auburn's pro day? Hey, hats off. At least he's not doing what Colin Kaepernick did. Hey, I'm going to be training at this facility. You guys can come watch me an hour before. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm actually way over here. And it's my own thing with my own people. The NFL's not has no control over this.
How many people are actually going to Auburn's pro day?
I don't know. Not enough where they had to fill Cam Newton, I guess. How was Auburn last year? What was their record?
They were not good.
So they don't have a lot of pros? Yeah, but...
They have some, but... I mean,
you get guys.
You're not going to get 32 scouts like Bama does.
No. But... So why is Cam Newton going there? Is he legitimately...
He's trying to get back in the NFL.
He's trying to get people to look at him and go, oh, that guy's got... Look at the arm on that guy.
You want to be a starter, Cam? You want to be a big-name quarterback?
Go be a backup.
Go play in the XFL.
Go play in the XFL or go be a backup for minimal.
He would be the face of the XFL if he did it.
Yeah, he probably would. Yeah.
They would market the crap out of him.
He would be the king there.
But he can't humble himself enough to say, I'm not good enough to be in the NFL.
Well, he
but...
humbled himself for a second when he was with the Patriots, right? He was a backup?
Oh, he started them. Started them.
And then
like
he became a backup and still kind of hung out.
I mean, he went back to Carolina for like four games.
What a wild ride for that guy. 41 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Poll question of the day is our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. You've been down to tight-knit before.
It is Angel approved.
It is Angel approved. Love that place. That's our poll question of the day sponsor, though. Who will win the NBA MVP? Joel Embiid? Or Nikola Jokic, or Giannis. I threw Luka and Jason Tatum in there. They're not going to win, though. They're too far down at this point. But, if we're just looking at numbers, Joel Embiid's averaging 33.5 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, and 4 assists per game. Joker is at 25, and 11.9 rebounds per game. He's at 9.9 assists per game. Is he going to get that triple-double average? Going to have to get that the assist number up. The numbers are huge, but the first lot, like, see, those numbers to me, like, what's better when you look at this number? Seriously, put them back to back. 34 points, let's just round up for Joel Embiid, versus 25 points, okay? Joel Embiid wins that. 10.2 rebounds per game versus 11.9 rebounds per game. Joker wins that.
So 12.
Yeah. Joker wins that. 4 assists per game, 9.9, so 10 assists per game. Joker wins that. So if you're just comparing the three major stats in basketball, Joker is 2-1 against Joel Embiid. But the first line, if you go, and again, I've been following this all along, NBA.com, their Kia MVP ladder, first line, Jokic helped the Nuggets snap a season-high four-game losing streak Thursday with a 30-point performance in the club's 119-100 win over the Pistons. Now, again, this isn't taken into account the last two or three days, I should say. So that is, he was second, and that was before, what was the game before the Pistons, or the Brooklyn game? They lost.
Knicks.
So that was before the Knicks game and before the Brooklyn game. So they're not taking that into account yet. But the fact that the four-game losing streak is part of that first line, again, that's what's going to hit. The numbers, Joker wins the numbers battle. If we just want to go numbers, he wins the numbers battle. He destroys Joel in assists. He is almost two rebounds per game. He is basically two rebounds per game better. But to be fair, he is about 9 points worse than Joel Embiid. But that also goes hand in hand with all the assists per game. He's passing it more.
What's the average of free throws that Embiid gets in a night?
Well, that's something, you know.
I know that's not a lot, but that 9-point difference could just be all free throws.
I mean, the other night, he knocked down all 10 of his free throw attempts, which was amazing, but he went to the free throw line 10 times.
When has Jokic ever got 10 free throws?
I don't remember Joker ever getting to the free throw line like that. Not like that.
It's tough because they both, we've said it before, they both play such different styles for similar positions and similar size. You go through those stats, Jokic has arguably more valuable stats because he's helping out not only himself, but his team, and they're winning.
They're winning when he has those numbers.
But, you know, unfortunately, it's not decided by your stats. It's decided by voters.
Well, and if it's
voters are going to look at the points.
If it's 50-50, they're going to look at the points, and they're also going to look at the garbage takes. Sorry, but they are. The garbage takes from the four-letter network. Because the NBA and four-letter network are married.
Yeah, and Jokic came into the season as a defending MVP, and, you know, you're the MVP until you get dethroned. And so all season we've been kind of like, what is the thing that's going to get Jokic? What's that red flag about Jokic going to be at any point in the season? Unfortunately, it just happened to be a four-game losing streak at one of the worst times.
Yeah.
And Embiid was putting up 30 points every single game.
Exactly. Well,
it's just the way timing worked out. Embiid has passed Jokic, but it's not over yet.
It's not over yet. Again, next Monday is a huge game in the MVP race. The Sixers are playing the Bulls again tomorrow night. They just lost to them 109-105. So
let's go Bulls.
These are all things that you're going to be paying attention to. 49 minutes after the hour. What did we learn today? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say?
All right, what did we learn today on this Tuesday, March 21st? For me, my biggest takeaway is with the Broncos. Talking to Zach earlier today, is maybe Tim Patrick's the only safe wide receiver on this roster. That they're going to shop Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, maybe KJ Hamler until the trade deadline next season. That they're just not, Sean Payton's just not liking what he's seeing from these guys. They're wanting Tim Patrick type guys that can dig out safeties and block. That's what they're doing. What'd you learn today, Angel?
I learned that it may look like sunshines and rainbows in Boulder, but it's okay to ask about some concerning issues.
There could be stuff there. The videos are almost too perfect. You know, it's like you see all the great production and all the voiceover work. It's fantastic.
What's going on when the camera's not rolling?
You gotta wonder. All right, we do have to announce a winner today. It's a two-dog race today, really. I mean, we had some random stuff and some comments came in on the line, but it was just more. I'm going to go. Got a good reference in today. I'm going to go with the Flying Dutchman is winning the $15 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. All right, we'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Speaking of hockey, Flying Dutchman want to know if we're having hockey. We're going to talk to Kyle Fredrickson tomorrow on all things Colorado Avalanche, so we look forward to talking to him. We'll get Mark Johnson on, the voice of the Buffaloes. Let's get his take on primetime. But also, the burning questions surrounding Tad Boyle's crew in Boulder as well. What potentially will that roster look like? A lot of change, for better or worse. Change is coming. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.